Now, follow-up studies show, and people who have done this, that the results of this experiment are fascinating. Now, some children, they just immediately eat the marshmallow as soon as the experimenter leaves the room. Now, I don't know about any of your kids in the room who might do that. I have a feeling which way Bowen might react at this point in his life. So some children ate the marshmallow right away. Some resisted the temptation, and they used various strategies to distract themselves from the temptation to eat the marshmallow. They would, you know, cover their eyes, you know, play with their thumbs, you know, sing to themselves, anything to wait to eat this marshmallow. Now, there have been other studies done that show that there are correlations between a child's ability to delay gratification as a child and some of the choices that they then make later in life in adulthood. Factors such as academic success, health, and social competence. Not necessarily definitive studies, but if you want to learn about human nature, sometimes the best thing to do is observe the behavior of kids. Because, at the end of the day, the behavior of adults sometimes isn't too far off from the behavior of kids. Now, the experiment was designed to understand that concept of delayed gratification in children. Delayed gratification, which is the idea that if I delay some sort of reward now, I will receive something even better or more satisfying in the future. Now, we all know that in our world today, we live in a state of instant gratification, not a world of delayed gratification. Anything we could ever want is a few seconds away, just a few taps on our smartphones, and we have it. And it's only a day until Amazon Prime delivers it at our front door. Now, this has profound effects on who we are as a people, and this relates to our story in Daniel chapter 1 this morning. Let me pray for us, and we'll talk about how that relates. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and as we continue through this series in Daniel, we continue to ask and pray that you would speak to us through your word. God, help us to understand our place in all of this and what you want for us as followers of Jesus living in our world today. So, Father, would you open our ears and our hearts for what you have for us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter 1. As Jeannie read for us, we're going to be spending our time together this morning in verses 8 through 21 of Daniel chapter 1. So turn with me there. If you have a bulletin, you can see an outline for you there. I've split this passage up into three parts for us. First, we'll talk about the courage of resisting. Then we'll talk about the strength from resisting. And then we'll talk about the authority from resisting. So let's start in that first section, verses 8 through 14. So as we read last week, Daniel and his friends have been taken away to a foreign land far from their home in exile in Babylon. They've been given names against their will that gave glory to the Babylonian gods instead of the one true God, Yahweh. Those things they didn't really have a choice in. But now Daniel and his friends are choosing to fight over whether or not they have to eat the food from the king's table. Really, this question this morning is a question of how far is this thing going to go? And Daniel and his friends are trying to draw a line in the sand. Now, a question we might have as we read this is, what's so wrong with Daniel and his friends eating this food? It's there for them. Why is this such a big deal? Well, there are a couple reasons. First, this food would have defiled them. Now, our understanding of what this food was that this was food that had likely been sacrificed to Babylonian gods as an act of worship to them, and was therefore unclean because eating it would have been in and of itself an act of idolatry for them. The second reason was that this food was also likely ritually unclean. Eating it would have broken the Israelite food laws from the Old Testament. Now, Daniel chooses not to eat this because at the end of the day, he is choosing to be faithful to God and what God has called him to do. Daniel knows the food laws. He knows, more importantly, what their purpose is. Their purpose, which was to set the Israelites apart from the other nations. But how are they supposed to be set apart, right? If they eat this food, when they're given Babylonian names, when they're learning Babylonian culture. So Daniel begins to look for a way out of this. Now, the chief official who we met last week, named Ashpenaz, liked Daniel. And we read, not because of anything that Daniel has done, but because God himself had caused Ashpenaz to look upon Daniel with favor. Now, either way, this is still a bold question for Daniel to ask. This is a question that takes courage, because really what Daniel's asking for here by asking not to eat this food is it okay for me to defy King Nebuchadnezzar himself? King Nebuchadnezzar wanted the men exiled in Babylon, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, and the Israelites, to all become assimilated into Babylonian culture. But Daniel is asking if he and his friends are allowed to stay separate from that culture. It's a question that might not go over well if Ashpenaz were to say yes. And so Ashpenaz says no, right? Because he is afraid of King Nebuchadnezzar. He's afraid that if he joins in on this defiance of the king, and the king has appointed Ashpenaz to oversee these men, that Nebuchadnezzar might not respond too well to Ashpenaz either. If the vegetables and the water that we read about here cause Daniel and his friends to grow weaker, then Ashpenaz is responsible for them. Now, Daniel, he doesn't just take no for an answer at first. Daniel is standing firm in what he believes is the right thing to do. And so he goes around Ashpenaz, and instead asks the guard that Ashpenaz had put in charge of watching them instead. But this time Daniel asks while also making an offer at the same time. He says, "Test us. Give us a test and give us nothing but vegetables and water for 10 days. That's it, just 10 days. And if at the end of those 10 days we are better off than those eating from the king's table, then continue to give us water and vegetables." Now, before we even know the results of how this will work out for Daniel, we also need to recognize what an act of courage this is. If Daniel's offer doesn't work, if Daniel and his friends don't end up stronger, then they are in double the trouble. Because not only had they defied eating the food from the king's table, they have also gone around Ashpenaz, the one who said no to them in the first place. Daniel has so much faith that this will work. So much faith that he is willing to go through great lengths to make this happen, to stay faithful to his God. And he knows that God will honor his resistance. Now, the way that Daniel handles this situation is helpful for us, and we can learn from it. Who, as we've been talking about through this sermon series, as followers of Jesus, are living in exile in this world. We are in the world, but not of the world. Heaven is our home. And we, as we are all aware of, have a culture around us that is trying to assimilate us into that culture. Now, Daniel wasn't obstinate in his resistance. He wasn't being overly defiant. He wasn't being rude. He was working with the Babylonians towards a solution. Sure, Daniel had faith in how this would turn out. But he could have said this to the guard: "We Israelites are so much better than you Babylonians. We are pure, so I cannot eat your impure food. We are the people of God, so we cannot stoop to your level. Since we are better than you, I refuse to eat your food. Now bring me something else to eat. Right? Daniel doesn't do that. He uses humility and wisdom. And he works to find a solution that neither defiled him and his friends, but didn't offend the Babylonians at the same time. Now the question for us in the midst of this example is, when the world challenges our convictions, how will we respond? Will we be abrasive in our resistance? Will we be prideful? Will we put ourselves on a pedestal above the rest of the world? Or will we be creative and humble in our resistance and our faithfulness to God? And instead, in that way, win the culture to our cause. And we see in our next section that this is a win for Daniel and his friends. God does honor Daniel's faith, starting in verse 15. At the end of the test, after 10 days, he and his friends were healthier and better nourished than the other men. You see, the assumption that Ashpenaz and the guard and everyone else in Babylon at this time was making was that this food was the best. This is food directly from the king's table. The king would have eaten the best in all of Babylon, right? But Daniel and his friends know differently. They know that it isn't this food that will make them strong. They know that true strength only comes from God, and that they are going to seek God for that strength. You see, when it comes to resisting the things that the world tries to push upon us, we also need to recognize the assumptions that come with them. See, the world would promise us that if we just do this, then this other good thing will happen to us. Or the world promises us that if we just buy this or have this, then our happiness will be guaranteed. See, part of resisting is questioning the motives behind the things that are being pushed upon us. For Daniel and his friends, it wasn't just about the food. It was about what the food represented. For us, it isn't just about what the world may try to give us. It's about what those things represent. Yes, my phone will allow me to be connected to other people, but at what cost? Just so I can keep up with the latest outrage in the news, or so I can keep up with that person's life when really I'm comparing myself to them to my own detriment, when I'm desiring something that that person has that I don't have and that's causing me to envy. Yes, I should work hard, but at what cost? Just so I can have nicer things. See, normally we would think that resisting the culture around us would make us weaker, right? If we resist the culture around us, then we're missing out on what the world has to offer us, but it actually makes us stronger. Yes, when we resist the things that the culture around us tries to push on us, we do miss out. It would be nice to have a nicer car. It would be nice to have the life that that person has. But Daniel and his friends missed out on this Babylonian food, which I'm sure would have tasted good, but they would have compromised what God had called them to do. God isn't the fun police. It isn't that he doesn't want us to have nice things. He wants us to have the best thing, and that is him. Sometimes, when the world offers us something and is telling us that it is the best thing ever, it really isn't. Those things may just distract us from what God is calling us to do. Sometimes saying no is better than saying yes. Because when we say no to the world, we are in turn saying yes to God. Sometimes not eating that marshmallow right away is better, because we know that there is another marshmallow on the way. And I think God honors this. right? Just look at how he blesses Daniel and his friends because of this. They were healthier and better nourished than the other men. They also got something better than physical health, knowledge and understanding and learning and literature of all kinds. Daniel gains the ability to understand dreams and visions. Daniel and his friends were not weakened by their resistance. It was actually their resistance that strengthened them. Now, this passage is a famous one, right? We're pretty familiar with it. Even today, there is something called the Daniel diet. Maybe you have done that or are familiar with it, where people do what Daniel and his friends do here as a way of fasting, eating nothing but vegetables, and drinking nothing but water. Now, this Daniel fast is not just about the food. If Daniel and his friends were to give in and eat the food, then what would make them different? If they just did whatever the Babylonians did, they would be no different from them. See, there is value in being different, in being set apart. There's value in standing out in this way. And our faith as followers of Jesus makes us different, right? Our faith makes us stand out because we are called to live differently. We are called to our convictions. We may be ridiculed and questioned for it, right? The world may poke fun at us, call us antiquated, old-fashioned. That's okay. We know at the end of the day what the rewards will be. And God promises to bless us when we are faithful to him in our resistance. See, any blessing that God chooses to give us is for one purpose and one purpose only, to give glory to him. As the one who makes us different and makes us special. See, there is no way that Daniel and his friends could have become strong or smart or spiritually wise or interpret dreams and visions on their own. It is God who has given them those incredible gifts. It is God who they will serve with those gifts. We see how they will serve him in our last section for this morning. Starting in verse 18, after this, we see a break, right? Some time passes, and the assumption here is that Daniel and his friends from this point on have continued to only eat vegetables and drink water. 3 years have passed. They're 3 years into their exile in Babylon, and the time has come for them to enter into the king's service. Now, they are presented here before King Nebuchadnezzar himself, who they have really defied in this way. But after the king talks with them, he sees that these young men are special. There is something different about them. And so King Nebuchadnezzar brings them into his service. But not only that, he says that he finds them better than the magicians and the enchanters in every matter of wisdom and understanding. This is an Old Testament example of what Paul would later say in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, where he says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Now, we have to understand what a monumental shift this is for Babylon. For all of his reign up to this point, Nebuchadnezzar had relied upon these magicians and enchanters. They had been his counsel, that he had sought them for wisdom when he needed to make decisions. But now, other advisors have arrived on the scene, advisors who have a different way of doing things. The magicians and the enchanters had simply been trying to replicate the miracles and the wisdom of God. But now that Daniel and his friends are here, Nebuchadnezzar can clearly see the real thing before him. Now here is what God is doing in the midst of Israel's exile in Babylon. God is changing the nation from within. Because Daniel and his friends have been obedient to God, because they have not defiled themselves and given in to the Babylonian culture, they have been given wisdom and understanding. And because they have been given wisdom and understanding, they have now risen to a place of influence in the Babylonian government. They did not need to become Babylonians in order to change the Babylonian culture. They had to resist the Babylonian culture in order to change the Babylonian culture. You see, this is God's way of transforming the Babylonian Empire with a small group of people who are showing there is a different way. Now, those who had been brought to exile in Babylon, those who had been the lowest of the low, the Israelites who were not well liked, have found themselves a place at the king's table. They now have the king's ear. And all it took was faithful obedience, faith to resist something that they knew was wrong. Now I want to rethink the marshmallow experiment that I opened with, but let's talk about it in a different way. Let's put you into that experiment. Let's say that you are the kid at that table with a marshmallow in front of you, but the observer isn't a scientific researcher, it is God. And God places something before you. Maybe not a marshmallow, it could be anything, right? But something that might be tempting for you to take. And he says to you, don't eat this, or don't do this, or don't take this. And if you don't, I will give you a blessing that is greater than you could ever imagine. Would you eat the marshmallow? Or would you wait? Now, I know it's a flawed analogy for many reasons. but the main flaw is that God has already given that great blessing to us. And this is where this passage relates to Jesus and the cross. His son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. In fact, it is exactly because we, in fact, already grabbed the marshmallow when we weren't supposed to, that Jesus had to go to the cross in the first place. And Jesus, as we read in the New Testament, famously resisted temptation from Satan 3 times, right? What was that temptation? Well, the same temptation that Daniel and his friends faced here in Babylon. I know that God commanded you not to do this, but you should. And if you do, then you will receive this, right? That was Satan's temptation. Daniel and his friends were promised strength from the Babylonian food. Jesus was promised authority over the nations. But you see, Satan was tempting Jesus with something that Jesus already had. Daniel and his friends also were tempted with something that they already had. They didn't need to eat this choice food. Their food laws were already good enough for them. They didn't need strength from the food. God would give them strength. Jesus didn't need Satan to give him authority over the nations. He already had it. And so it is through Jesus' faithfulness to go to the cross for us that the door is open for us to receive God's blessing in him. Because Jesus was faithful, even when we are not, we can receive strength, wisdom, and authority when we place our faith in him. And Jesus promised to give us those things. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I'll read this for us. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. He goes on a little later in the same passage to say this: All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus, who did not grab the marshmallow, went to the cross for those who did. Because he did, we get the reward for not grabbing the marshmallow, even though we did grab it. It's a silly analogy, but it doesn't make sense, does it? We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it, but it is given to us anyways. This is what God has done for us. This is how much he loves us. Now, does this mean that we should just grab the marshmallow that's in front of us? No. Of course not. It's exactly because we have already received the blessing of resisting that we can resist. It's because of what Jesus has done for us that we can stand firm for what we believe in, even when the world is trying to pull us away from him. Let me pray for us as we close. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you mostly for your son Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. But Father, as he promised us in John chapter 14, the Spirit has come and the Spirit is alive in us. We have received wisdom, learning, understanding, strength, and power in the Spirit through Jesus Christ. So, Father, may we be strengthened this morning as we live in this world, as we resist the ways that the culture tries to pressure us into accepting it. May we be faithful to who you have called us to be. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.